This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13 and following, where there is detail about the end of the world. And Paul says this, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope, right? So if people die before Jesus comes back, hey, Christians, don't sweat it, right? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So like he's doubly emphasizing it when he said, it's all scripture. And now he's like, and by the way, don't miss this point. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Notice how he leaves an option for it to be him included, by the way. He wasn't, but he left it as an option. We who are alive and remain until, which means that after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus could come back anytime. Although 2 Thessalonians will have an interesting thing about the man of lawlessness. But anyway, don't miss. He believed it could be during his lifetime. Okay. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That is, the resurrection, when it takes place, those who are dead get raised first before those who are alive get changed and lifted up, right? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, okay? So, boom, shout, the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The word rapture, by the way, is just the Greek word, I think. So, I think of in rapture, think of to be caught up, think of to be brought to Jesus as he comes down. This isn't a secret thing, though, right? Thus we shall always be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. That's what we know, again, about the end of the world. There's no sign until it happens, and when it happens, shout, archangel, trumpet, resurrection. It's a big deal. Rah! You won't miss it.
You don't need to be.
You won't miss it.
Tracking.
Since I mentioned 2 Thessalonians, it is worth to point out in the next letter, he has to address some who believe the resurrection had already happened. And he says to them, concerning the coming of our Lord, this is chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, our gathering to him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Right? Hey guys, when it comes, it's not going to like be a time afterwards where you're like, did it happen? Like you're going to know, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. It's called the great apostasy by some. And the man of sin or the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, or that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, who the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. So you have this idea that there's some person who is going to show up before the end of the world can happen, but that they know who it is. Okay. And they know what's restraining him. So this isn't like, you know, the UN. It can't be the Thessalonians.
Oh, okay.
He said, you know what restrains him. Where would it go? Yeah. Verse 6. And now you know what is restraining, that he may reveal it in his own time. So, like, this isn't the UN. This isn't, like, the European Union or some, you know, Bill Gates or something like that. Kind of classic Antichrist talk. Nor does he call this the Antichrist, by the way. This is the man of lawlessness. It's what most people think of as the Antichrist, though,
yeah.
Is the man of lawlessness. Everybody who was anybody who wasn't a Roman Catholic before 1900 thought this was the Pope. Like, there's not even a debate. No one debated this. It was like everyone who was a Protestant is like, yep, that's the Pope. And they don't mean the Pope personally. They mean the office of the Pope. And it's pretty simple. It's because he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He calls himself the vicar of Christ. That's what he believes he is. He replaces God in your relationship with God. And anything he says is what you have to believe, even if it's that you have to pay for salvation with money. Yeah, so that's why they thought that. It makes sense. The idea here is that what was restraining him was the Roman Empire. And so basically the Roman Empire was going to go from being just a secular torment to Christians to being a religious torment to Christians by becoming the Roman Catholic Empire. Does that mean the Roman Catholic Church is not the church? No, it actually means it is the church. He's in the church. He's in the temple of God. In fact, if you don't think that the Roman Catholics are the church, then you can't believe that he's the man of lawlessness. You have to let all those Christians being kind of led by the nose, sometimes astray, in order to deceive them. And that Paul says, you know, we warned you about this, that there would come a church, a center to Christianity that would be taken by evil people to use it for evil ends. Lavender Mafia comes to mind. So anyhow, you know, this, speaking of confusing texts, this is about as confusing as it gets. I can understand if somebody wants to look at 2 Thessalonians and be like, I'm not sure how you got to Pope from there. I can get that. But what I can't get is you thinking that this hasn't happened yet, because Paul said it was going to happen quickly. And he believed in his own lifetime that such things would take place so that Christ could return in his own lifetime. So did the Pope exist in his own lifetime? Not as such. So again, this is where it gets squiggly for me, but it doesn't undo any of the rest that was said, which is that you don't know the day or the hour, that there are no signs of this, that it's going to be a trumpet shout and an archangel blast, and it's going to happen. Flip those around. It's going to happen at once, and we're all going to see it happen. That there is a man of sin, a son of perdition, a false teacher par excellence that will exist in the world until his return, which he will destroy when he returns. I think you have to believe that. If you don't think that's the Pope, you can't really be a confessional Lutheran, but you know, that's not going to bother a lot of people. I think that the position that, like, look, who does the world always think's in charge of the church, even right now? Well, the Pope. Okay, so does the Pope promote Orthodox Christianity? No. So it kind of fits, yeah. But it's not the hill to die on so much as the hill to die on is to believe that you cannot tell the day or the hour. Christ will return any day. And that kind of thing. So before someone accuses me of not, you know, being a confessional Lutheran because I said it's not the hill to die on, let me suggest that most Lutherans who are confessional Lutherans don't believe this as much as we should. Because if we did, we wouldn't try to have our own church bodies. We'd realize that we need to get back into the Roman Catholic Church and that we should never give up on that because it's the true church. And anything we would do otherwise is to form a sect. Yeah, we're supposed to fight the man of perdition, not go off and start our own party. And so at one point in history, it kind of looked like maybe we were doing that. Like the state churches of kind of the Protestant world were a counterpunch to the Roman controls. This is not true anymore. Lutherans, we barely exist. Like we're on the edge of the world. We're about to fall off the flat earth. And so I'm all for saying, like, look, the son of perdition is the Pope, but that means we're not allowed to just sit here and be like, we have our own churches over here. We're fine. Yeah. No, we're supposed to reform the church. And that means the church, which clearly is headed by the Pope, if he's the man of lawlessness. Or say it that way. If the Pope is the man of lawlessness, which is our confession say, and I believe, then he's the head of the church. And that includes us. Mm. That includes us. We haven't reckoned with this nearly enough as Lutherans, so I don't want to go around condemning a bunch of other people who don't get it, basically, is where I'm at. But it is a complicated text.